Welcome to the show, Vicky Palladino from the New York City Council. This is a good get for today, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on. It's a pleasure.
How to Be Tom Shalhoub, a podcast starring me, Tom Shalhoub. Each week, I explore a topic or speak with someone I find interesting, someone I think you could learn from. By listening, you might gain some insight into what it's like to be Tom Shalhoub. Now, why would anybody want to do that? Well, look, you have to model yourself after someone, right? Might as well be me. I mean, who are you going to be, Albert Einstein? Much easier to start with someone simple, like me. Tom Shalhoub. So you are from, am I right? Is it District 19?
I'm District 19 in Northeast Queens. And I just won my re-election in November.
Yep.
So it's normally a four-year term, but they had to break it up into 2 years and then another 2 years. So now I just got reelected for the 2 years. Got to go out again in another year and a half and do this, beat this horse again to win my four-year term, which would make 8 years in total.
But you beat a Democrat, and the person before that guy was a Democrat, if I'm correct.
That is correct.
Yeah. So how'd you do it? How do you win a city council seat in New York? If you go onto Wikipedia and you look up New York City Council, I think there's 51 of them, right? It's just a big, long blue column, blue, 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 blue. And every once in a while you see red. Is it four or five of you?
I think there's five.
Yep.
We picked up, we had to give up a seat in Brooklyn, which was Ari Kagan. But what happened, which was amazing, we got elected Christy Mamorato, which is right over the bridge from me, because I'm right by the Whitestone and the Throgs Neck Bridge. That's my district. We picked up Christy Mamorato over in the Bronx, first Republican to be elected to office in 50 years in the Bronx.
Wow.
Let alone a woman.
That's
well, a
huge
woman they have, but yes, a woman Republican.
We've had a good run, people who are conservative-minded in the New York area, and I mean, obviously there's, you know, this is a Democrat dominated city, but like the first question I asked you, how did you do it? What do you do? I mean, are you knock, knock, knocking on doors or?
No. Yeah, no? I did that. Yeah. I did that. But I was born and raised in this district.
Yeah.
I've always been well known in this district as far as my politics go. I'm considered somewhat of an activist. I'm a speaker. I have a tendency to speak my mind on a great many things.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the city today is pretty clear. My district, though it is 8-1 Democrat, they have a true sense of common sense. So I, being who I am, was able to just talk to people about what is the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. And when I ran, I put myself, my office, in a very blue part of my district, one that I lost a couple of years back because they were strictly Democrat. You could stand on your head. They were Democrat. So I put my office in the heart of Bay Terrace. In doing so, which I call the belly of the beast, was because I wanted to invite those people in. And I wanted to say to those people, what is it about me or my policies that you don't like? Let me know so I can help you out and let's have a conversation. I always talk and we always have conversation. I had people walking out of that room, that office, saying, wow, you're nothing like I thought you'd be. I don't know what they thought, maybe horns and whatever else. But we were able to agree on a lot of common sense issues. You know, we're very big here with co-ops and condos. We have Local Law 97, which is part of the Green New deal that was passed in de Blasio's days in 2019, which goes into effect January 24 of this year, which means a total revamping of people's heating systems, you know, and stuff like that, which is going to cause their maintenance to go sky high. I hit on issues that hit them at home.
Yeah.
And cops, lack of security, the noise that we have, the basic issues of everyday quality of life issues. And we found out we have a whole lot more in common. Plus, they like the way I carry myself. I'm a fighter. I never stop fighting. I don't ever give up. I don't ever give in. And I never take a knee.
Would you say that in New York, especially in places like, what is you, would you call your neighborhood Whitestone?
Where I was born is Whitestone, but my district goes super blue collar, very diverse, College Point West, through Whitestone, down and around through Bayside, North Flushing, and as far east as Little Neck, Douglaston, which is only 500 feet from the Nassau County border. So I've got my district is so diverse, so many, it's not a one size fits all at all.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work.
Yeah. And would you say that people there are, did you say it was 8-1 Democrat in your,
8-1.
That's unbelievable. And you didn't win by a little bit. You won by a lot. It was like close to 60%, I think, your victory, if I'm correct.
Yes, it was. It was 60.1%. And it just so happened that the Democrat, oh God, he was awful. And I know he was pathetic. And I know him because he was our state senator in this district, and he was our city councilman in this district. Who knew him better than me?
Yeah.
Okay, so the last go around in 21, I had somebody stay on the conservative line. I had only one line. I had the Republican line. The kid who ran against me on the conservative line had about 30 grand left over. He blew it in October, right before the election in 21, with a bunch of lies about me. Tons and tons of lies.
Uh-huh.
So I only beat Tony, my opponent, in 20, In 21, I won, and then I ran again in 23. Okay. So what happened was the kid took 1,700 votes from me in 21.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have beat Tony by over 2,000 in 21. So because I had the conservative line and the Republican line, I was able to secure both lines, as I should have in the first go around. And I beat him badly. And he needed to be beat badly. The guy was a liar and many, many other things. So there you go.
That's great. So how do you get when I look at the ballot sometimes, and I tell my wife, look out for this when we vote. I'm in Westchester. I live in Yonkers/Bronxville in Westchester County. So I say, you got to look out because sometimes it says Democrat, Republican, conservative, and you look and the Democrat has the Dem line and the conservative line. Mm-hmm. And I say to my wife, watch out. Sometimes people see conservative and they vote for that. How do the Democrats get that conservative line?
Beats the hell out of me. It surprised you yet?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as much down here. I don't know if Westchester's rules are different.
Yeah.
But here, most of the time, a conservative is that. A conservative. Very few Democrats even want to touch what's called conservative line. They don't want it down here in New York. That's like blasphemy. They don't want it.
Yeah. So back to the situation of the city council, 51 people, do they all meet at the same time? I don't remember seeing any video of these meetings, but I imagine it's a nightmare. I mean, you've got like 40 Democrats, and what do?
We stick together like glue. This is just to make you laugh or cry, depending. This is the largest amount of Republicans in city council in years and years. Can you imagine that? At one time, there was only three Republicans out of 51.
Yeah.
So in 21, when we secured five seats, that was like, what the hell happened? They didn't know what to do. And this five that you've got, we are powerful. We are strong. We don't take no for an answer. We go toe to toe when it's necessary. And we try to get along on a lot of things so that we could try to mend this city. But sadly, my common sense Democrats, we also have what's called a common sense caucus, which is made up of two Democrats. So that brings us up to the very large number of seven. And they vote most of the time along with us. How do we do it? Every month we have two what's called stated meetings. Stated meetings is protocol. It's where all 51 members get together in chambers. It's beautiful, actually. It's really, really nice. And we sit there and we discuss the policies and we vote on different pieces of legislation.
Yeah.
Because we are in such an insane environment, what we managed to pass this year is pitiful. There is no changes happening here in this city with this present city council. On a very serious note, this city council is so divided. These common sense Democrats don't vote the way their heart tells them to vote, the way they should vote, the way their constituents want to see them vote. Mm-hmm. They always go so far left. We could have a conversation and then with the Democrat, I could have a conversation with a Democrat, and then they'll go into chambers and vote against what you just talked about, that they were total lockstep with you. Because they're afraid to be primaried. They are afraid of their own party because their party has gone so far left.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming, though, if they're in the Common Sense Coalition, they are probably coming from more moderate districts. I mean, that's why they want to kind of hang with you guys, right? Because they know they must have some conservative people in their district.
Well, we have Bob Holden, and he is phenomenal. He runs on both Republican and Democrat line. We're going to miss Bob because Bob's terming out at the end of these 2 years.
What's the term limits? How many limits?
Eight years. It's two terms. It's two terms. And he just finished his last of his, this will be the last of the two of the four that they divided up. So are you following me?
I am. So, but you got to run, you know, it's the old people could do 4 years, but you got to run every 2 years.
Only this go around now again in 25, I got to win again to secure the 4 year term.
Okay.
Then they're back on track. Every term is 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. Do you know when I won in 21, I won, it happens every 20 years where they redistrict the lines.
Yeah.
And that's why they break up the term.
Yeah.
Had I won in any other time period outside of that 20-year time period, this term would have been a 4-year term.
Right. I was hanging out with Lee Zeldin the other day at Fox News. We were doing Gutfeld together. And I said to him, I thought that he, even though he lost, he carried so much in New York. He helped so many other people. And I don't know if he ever got the national recognition for that. Do you agree with me that Lee Zeldin had a kind of a great effect on...
Lee Zeldin was great. We had Lee Zeldin here in my district. We did a lot for Lee. I am also president of the Whitestone Republican Club. And that is, bar none, the largest Republican club outside of the YRs, the Young Republican Club, in all of New York, out of all five boroughs.
Yeah.
So I have people who come from everywhere, Long Island, Westchester, every borough, to come to my meetings. And I meet once a month. It's the second Wednesday of every month, and I've been doing it. I haven't missed one meeting in 6 years. And Lee Zeldin was invited to my club. Lee Zeldin being part of the Nassau GOP, you know, we wanted to get to know one another, and we did. And we threw him a couple of very good rallies here. He took my district and this part of Queens big time. Very, very big.
So, yeah, you, And you guys, you know, you helped each other, I guess, right? You turned him out for Lee. He turned him out for some of the smaller races.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This was, like I said, I'm fortunate in the sense where it might be 8-1 Democrat, but it's 8-1 very reasonable Democrats. And when I gave my acceptance speech the night that I won back in November, I said, I want to thank my Democrat friends, my independent friends, and my Republican friends. Because without you, I would not be standing here. And that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah. Now, Eric Adams was able to run a campaign that I thought, and I even on Fox News, there's a lot of people, they treated Eric Adams like he was a real moderate because he seemed to have this cred. He was always standing there with police officers, and they talked about him as almost a tough on crime mayor. I don't really feel like he ever was. I don't feel like he's delivered on those promises. I don't need you to talk smack about the mayor, but maybe.
No, I won't.
You won't. Okay. You won't talk smack. But do you think he is, his reputation is well deserved? Or how would you say he's doing?
Okay. The way I would say Eric is doing is Eric can do much better. Mm-hmm. Eric knows he could do much better. The problem that's going to happen in this city in 25 is very serious. Because what's going to happen is if our present mayor does not move towards the middle more, where he belongs, and talk to the moderate people that are out there, these Dems hate his guts. Let me be very clear. The radical left hate Eric Adams.
They do. They do. They well, to me, that's guts. A good sign. I mean,
yes,
if they hate him, it means he's got, he's moved
correct.
A bit to the center, right?
But here is where the fault lies. When you try to be a pleaser all the time, please everyone all the time, it does not work. It doesn't work. They're going to smash him and they are going to primary him. Again, my guess is it's going to be Brad Lander. Mm-hmm. And that guy doesn't deserve to do anything in city government ever. Calls himself a controller. Okay. What's he in control of? Non-for-profits between him and his wife and his entire family. Give me a break. But anyway, he's going up against the mayor. Now, in speaking with the mayor, I will tell you this. It's time for him to hold steady ground. It's time for him to lock his knees together. It's time for him to stand up for what he truly believes in. And what he truly believes in, because you heard him say with the migrants, you see it happening with the budget. I went toe-to-toe with the budget hearing last week that Justin Brennan cut me off before my time because I was saying what they did not want to hear. Did they honestly think that they were going to be able to close, house, and feed the migrants that are coming in? When the mayor has said again and again and again, this is going to cost us $12 billion. And that was almost a year ago. Make that $12 billion more like $15 billion. Because the numbers are jumping in leaps and bounds. We've got 150,000 migrants in the city that nobody, that's a weak number. It's probably closer to 200,000. So this mayor has been telling this governor and has been telling everybody that you think we're going to be able to do this without it costing us a penny? No, this is going to come out of this budget cuts are going to be real. And they're going to be, and the average middle-class person, the blue collar, they're going to see their seniors cut, our kids cut, everything across the board. Okay. And you get these whiny crybabies that the libraries are going to be closed on Sundays. No joke. Really? Sundays? Ooh, we'll have to do without our libraries on Sunday. But you wanted the migrants. That's okay. Okay? Well, they're worried about composting. Do you know that composting, according to the city council I exist in at the last budget hearing, that they made that one of the center things about my constituents are going to be very upset about composting. Give me a break, will you? They got to cut a program that's barely gotten started for $3 million. Be quiet, okay? I deal with a bunch of children. There's children in the city council.
I don't know if people realize, you know, unless they get down there. Of course, I live in Westchester County, but I'm in the city all the time because I work at Fox News. Mm-hmm. So I take the train in. When I get off the train at 47th Street, because I get off the north end of Grand Central, I walk across, and the Roosevelt Hotel, I mean, it is a migrant center, right? I don't think people realize how bad it's gotten.
It's an intake center. I did I actually did a little thing for Fox News early morning outside the Roosevelt Hotel that I went live with Fox. And it was horrible at that time when they were all out on the streets sleeping, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 deep right onto the street. It's horrendous what's going on. And the Roosevelt Hotel being a landmark hotel, and it's costing us $400 to $500 a night. I don't know. My council members seem to think the money grows on trees.
Yeah. I think there's some legislation. I'm not familiar with it. Maybe you could help me out, because this was something I couldn't even, we couldn't get people to talk about it on Fox News because it was so confusing. One time we mentioned it on Gutfeld and Greg seemed confused by it. He said, this is a boring story, but it wasn't a boring story. This is what Donald Trump was talking about when he was saying goodbye to the suburbs. This legislation, and it's happening in Massachusetts, because I know they pass it in Massachusetts. And I think, as far as I know, we defeated it in New York. But can you explain to me how this legislation works? Essentially, it's all about building housing. It's creating housing stock at all of these train stations in Westchester and, you know, other communities, because they are trying to essentially urbanize the suburbs. Am I right about that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's called the City of Yes. Let me get my notes. Hang on. I mean, I know it pretty much like the back of my hand. What it's going to enable people to do is the City of Yes, Housing Opportunities, okay? It's like 17 pages long. It's a very scary thing. They use the train stations. Let's ignore that right now.
Okay.
Let's go to where we live. There will be no zoning. You could have an auto body shop, and right next to the auto body shop, you could have a house.
Yeah.
Now, when we, as a city council person, I am that wall of fire that protects a district from overbuilding. And what they want to do is, like what you said, is urbanize. They're going to allow people to operate businesses in their apartments. Now, you say, well, when we think about businesses, we think about people with jewelry businesses and such. It's not going to be that. It's going to be barbershops, nail salons, other type things. Every vacant piece of land will be taken over and will be built. If a house sits on a 60 by 40 piece of land, that's 4,000 square feet or whatever it is, do the math. I'm not a mathematician. They will be able to put up a four-story building. A four-story building. This is absolutely ludicrous. We are facing the end of suburbia with this. This is serious, serious stuff, and it cannot be allowed to happen. It's been handed down to 51 council members. The city council is going to be introduced, I believe, in April. We will probably be voting on it by the end of this next year, 24, and every single community board that I know of on my end of Queens and further are voting no on the City of Yes. But ultimately, once again, it comes down to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And if they allow this to happen, it is the end of suburbia in New York City.
And so the City of Yes is kind of the city version of what was also state legislation that Kathy Hochul was pushing it. But there were a lot of Democrats who were against it because they knew what was going to happen with their communities. And, you know, I'm not trying to say these people are xenophobic or they're afraid of people coming into their community. It's talking about overbuilding, building huge apartment buildings in these what were.
Our infrastructure cannot handle what they're trying to do here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. We have flooding now. We have sewer problems. We've got infrastructure problems with our highways, our bridges, everything. And you're going to compound it by doing this overbuilding? We've already got vacant apartment buildings in Manhattan. We've got vacant buildings in so many different areas. We don't need this, okay? Like it says here, everyday New Yorkers are struggling with our housing shortages. Yes, they're struggling because they make everything is $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month for an apartment in Manhattan. But you could come to your boroughs and you could still find something that's beautiful to live in for a reasonable amount of money. Stop blaming affordable housing. Affordable housing for most folks are no longer affordable. They come under this guise of affordable housing. It's a crock. It's a little bunch of baloney. And it is very complicated. And Greg is right. And anybody who thinks it's not only needs to sit down with somebody like myself and take the time and go through this. Not on a podcast like we're doing now, but I could sit down and walk you through every page of the City of Yes and explain to you in detail what it actually means. And people need to understand what it means, because ignorance is what gets these ridiculous things through, because it's too much for people to grasp, and it really is not. I break everything down to fourth grade reading level. Fourth grade reading level so that everybody gets it.
And, you know, nothing against Greg. He knows a good story when he hears it. So when we were pitching this story, Greg was like, it's too much. It's too confusing, because it's hard to talk about this stuff on a show. You know how TV shows work. You got to hit them with the topic and then we discuss it. And sometimes, you know, if it's going to get into the weeds, these hosts are like, no, we can't talk about it. But if in its simplest form, right. Is this legislation on the city level and on the state level, is it taking the hand taking the zoning laws? And a lot of people don't even know what zoning laws are, but it's just a way that a community is able to decide which land is for which use. You know, if you have industrial use, you have an industrial section of town. You don't want somebody opening up a lumber yard in the middle of town, right?
That's it. You got R1, R2, which is residential. R1 simple is single family homes, R2 residential, two family homes. You got commercial, that's C1, C2, C3, C4, could explain all that to you. Then there's manufacturing, that starts with an M, you know, so you go into these other things. And it's done for a reason. You know, we have an area of College Point, which is all manufacturing. You know, that's where they used to be anyway. That's where we used to do a lot of our manufacturing out of Queens, came from there. Now it's Long Island City. It's Astoria. It's changed quite a bit. But we are not. You cannot take down a house next door to me and put up a four-story building. That houses maybe 400 families, 500 families. You can't do it.
It's sewage. It's, you know, it's infrastructure.
It all comes down to infrastructure, too. We're not ready for it. This city puts the cart before the horse with everything. Everything the city does is not a well thought out plan at all. In the 2 years I'm doing this and in all my years of listening to it, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Here's what happened in Massachusetts, in my town. I grew up in Norwood, Massachusetts. When I go to my hometown, they're now building a lot of buildings down by the train station to kind of get these, you know, turn it into kind of a commuter town. It already is a commuter town, but most people live in houses. But they're doing a lot of building, and the residents are saying to the town management, you can't build. It's going to ruin our town. And he says, there's nothing I can do. Massachusetts will cut off our state funding unless we build these buildings. So what happens is once these bills pass, the towns don't even want to do it. They don't want to build. But if they don't allow these developers to build, then their state money gets cut off. And so I think that's how they capture you.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. And that is why when you brought up Lee Zeldin, just to tell you this, if Lee Zeldin was our governor, none of this would be happening. None of it. We could go down a checklist as long as my arm. and we wouldn't have the migrant crisis. We wouldn't have the city of yes. It wouldn't even be in that budget that Hochul calls a budget that was what? I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages that, of course, nobody even reads. And then they sneak in these little one-liners or little paragraphs inside of paragraphs to try to confuse you. And then before you know it, it's passed.
Yeah.
And it's given the stamp of approval. Everybody gets excited and they have a party. And then you find out later, what the hell did you do? And that's why it comes down to local politics, always local politics. Our little district here is low. We have a state senator. We have another state senator not too far. We've got our assemblymen. We're broken up into ADs. That's assembly districts. And, you know, they're running also this year. They're up for re-election, or next year. They're up for re-election. Are they going to change? Are they, or are people going to be stupid again? I am always amazed by people's stupidity. You know, it's like Einstein once said, what's the true sign of insanity? The true sign of insanity is repeating the same mistake over and over and expect a different outcome. And that's what we got right now. We got a bunch of stupid people walking around doing a whole bunch of stupid things. So how did I win my race? I enlightened everybody on what they are voting for.
Yeah.
And they know that when they voted for me and others like myself, which sadly there are few, they got a fighter who goes in with the knowledge that they need. And I don't take a knee to anybody. I'll go toe to toe with anybody.
So to kind of close things out, how are you? What's your vision for the future? I mean, are you optimistic? Like you said, you used to have only three people in the city council. Now you got five. You know, people are starting to realize some of the crises that are happening in the city. I was very upset. I couldn't believe Kathy Hochul won that race, but it did come close. Do you think things are coming back in New York and people are kind of, could we reach that point where we have people like, you know, there wasn't that long ago we had a Republican governor of New York?
I do believe so. Let me tell you this, Tom. It would be a very depressing state of mind for myself and for others not to say better days are ahead. I cannot, I have to believe that with all my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. And I have to believe that the people of the city of New York and the state of New York will eventually do the right thing. We are definitely at a tipping point now. It's a live or die for New York City. What we're going to do this Wednesday is vote on handcuffing our police officers even more by giving them more paperwork to do. Did you hear about this? They want our cops, and when I say they, I mean my city council.
Mm-hmm.
They want our cops to do paperwork with every personal interaction that they have. So if my police come to see me and say, hey, Vicky, how are you? After saying, hello, Vicky, how are you, and what we talked about, they have to then fill out paperwork, more paperwork, with every interaction they have.
Every time they talk to somebody.
Well, every time they talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That's what's coming up this Wednesday. That's what's coming up this Wednesday at our stated meeting.
It's now, isn't it just, would you say that that there isn't even any practical outcome from that? That it's just, they're just trying to hamper the police from doing their business?
Well, we called it defunding. You know, they defunded and we lost police. Then we refunded. Now they are dismantling by making their job even harder. And now we have just received within the last month, in the month of December, thus far, close to, if not more than 2,500 people are leaving the force. And we, for the first time in New York City's history, will drop below 30,000 police officers.
Really?
They were going to make them administrative assistants. That's what they're going to become. Just people standing in uniform doing administrative work. They are. It's really serious. It's really serious. So, again, you asked, do I have positive? The mayor vowed to veto that. The mayor has vowed to veto that. So let's see if he uses the power of the pen and the supermajority. Right now, it does not have supermajority in the council. Let's see if the mayor can veto and will veto it if it does pass. It's certainly what he should do. And for him to say that, this is where we circle back to where we first started. I hate saying circle back because of that other moron in Washington. But anyway, we have to go back to where we started. And that's with the fact that he has to stand his ground now.
Yeah.
He must stand his ground with the people.
And just so people understand, supermajority meaning it would be defeated if it could pass over 50%. But if he vetoes it, they got to go what, two-thirds?
Two-thirds, yes.
Yeah. And they can't, they're not, they wouldn't be able to override that veto.
I don't believe so, no. I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. I don't. But, you know, the left that we have in the council right now, it's just beyond your wildest imagination. I could talk about this for hours. It's just insanity at its best.
Can people see these city council meetings? They can.
Oh, my. Yes. You could tune in live. You could tune in live to our committee meetings that get almost nothing done.
Yeah.
You could tune into our stated meeting, which happens, like I said, it's normally on a Thursday.
Yep.
The first Thursday and the third Thursday of every month. All you got to do is go to, I believe it's NewYorkCityCouncil.gov.
Yeah.
I believe it is. Just
and they can search it. It'd be easy to search it up, too. It's easy to find the New York City Council.
You'll search it up and watch it. Just watch it. If you have a committee on public safety that interests you, you want to know what they're doing with the police, tune into what, go to the thing and find out when the next committee hearing is for public safety.
And it's broadcast live. Is it saved? Is it something, could you look, find
yes,
it on YouTube?
Yeah. Go up and look.
Oh,
I put a lot of stuff up on my Facebook, on my Instagram, and you could see a lot of what goes on. You know, they'll clip it out and they'll put my thing up, whatever I said at that particular meeting. For example, last week's with Justin Brennan, when he told me, that's enough. That's enough. Do you have a question you want to ask? I said, I'll get to my question. Right now I have a statement.
Is he the speaker or was he just running
He was the head of the head of the budget committee.
Uh-huh.
Sitting next to him is Adrian Adams, and she is the speaker of the city council, yes.
Yeah, okay. I love this. I love local politics. And like you said, it's very important. And I think people on the conservative side of politics, it used to just be who's going to be our next president. That's all they thought about. And to some extent, that's still the way people are. They seem to think, I'm just going to vote for president and let the chips fall where they may. But all politics is local, as we know. And I feel like conservatives now are starting to realize that the school boards, people are
huge. School board, I tell everybody, if you want to get your feet wet, because we need good candidates. The Republican Party is lacking good candidates. If you want to get your feet wet and see if it's something you think you might want to do, you're very intelligent. You know, you got the pulse of your community. Find out. Go start with your school boards. Get involved. Start to see where it's lying, where it's going. How, you know, what avenues are they pursuing? Speak up. Speak at your city and speak at your school boards. Start there. Get educated. Participate in your local precincts. They have what's called build the block meetings. Now, this is the city of New York, 9 million people, yet we're broken up into communities. Become part of your community. My civics associations. It breaks my heart when I go to a civic association meeting and I only see 20 people.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, your little area here consists of a couple of thousand people. At least 200 people should be at these meetings, and they're not. And then they come back and they say, why? How come? Why is this happening? I'm not understanding. Well, you would understand if you became a little bit more involved. I hated Zoom, but I have to tell you, Zoom got people involved because they didn't have, they're lazy. They didn't have to leave their house.
Yeah.
They were very comfortable in their pajamas going on a Zoom meeting. Now it's difficult to get people to even participate in Zoom meetings. That's why I do town halls. I bring everything that's going on to the people. That's what makes me very different from my other council members. And that's what makes me very different. I'm told they've never seen anything quite like me here. So
I'm confident of that. Vicky Palladino, what's your official title? It says CM there on your name.
I'm council member.
Vicky council Palladino. Member. So council is there, do you have a formal way of saying like, madam councilwoman or
I don't do
like
madam anything.
You don't.
I'm
okay.
Vicky.
Okay. That's good. Vicky Palladino, so great. Thanks for taking your time out. And maybe I'll see you. I know you hang around Fox News sometime. And, I love talking local politics. So maybe we can do something sometime on Fox Nation or, I love talking, getting down and talking local. It's great.
It is awesome. Thank you very much, Tom. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.